Good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you're watching this, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Stalica, Rocco Miller back with us. And despite the fact that we threw him out in last night's
Hoops HD report,
David Griggs is back as well.
Why was I thrown out? I don't understand. I try and make good points about Tim Miles, and you just throw me out.
We'll see if you make it through this podcast or not, David. I'm giving you about a 50-50 shot at not getting thrown out in this one. But this is our Under the Radar. And, David, while I kind of cringe to let you do it, why don't you tell everybody that's not familiar with Under the Radar what that means?
Well, it basically means you're under the radar. Oh, well, the way we define it is you are – it's essentially – you're a member of a conference that isn't either a power conference or a multi-bid league. The power conferences being the Big East, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC, along with the American, Big East, American, Big East, Mountain West, West Coast, and A-10. Hey, I got them all that time. I always try and forget one. The other thing is that you're not in the human polls, because if you're ranked nationally, then you're not under the radar. Anybody else is under the radar. It's about, I would say, almost 70% of all of college basketball that's under the radar.
Right. It's a total of 22 conferences, and what we'd like to do in these shows is go through all those 22 conferences, beginning with a feature conference of the night. And what we're also going to do today as a special bonus is kind of revisit, like we did in our Hoops HD report earlier this week, revisit each conference and ask the question of who is going to win the regular season title of the conference now that most of the non-conference season is out of the way. But our feature conference of the night, we decided to go with a conference that made huge news last Wednesday. So that score isn't even on the screen here as I pull it up. I only go to the last 7 days here, including today. But last Wednesday night, Wofford, the upset of the season at North Carolina. Rocco, how shocked were you on that game?
I mean, it was pretty shocking. They came out firing threes, and then they kept making big shots. And, you know, it was a really fun first half, and I figured North Carolina would take over in the second half. But then Wofford went on a run where they kept hitting more long threes and getting some key drives to the hoop. And then all of a sudden they're up by 11, and then they extended it even higher. And then they had enough in the tank to hold on at the end. It was a stunner. I think this has to be I know Grambling over Georgia Tech was huge, and the Washington win against Kansas in Kansas City was huge. But, I mean, this was just kind of, you know, out of nowhere, and it really took unbelievable shooting effort by Wofford, but they were able to do it. And one of the biggest upsets in recent memory for a non-conference game.
Well, it was kind of surprising from a historical standpoint. This was the first time Wofford actually beat a top 25 team away from home, but this time they not only get the top 25 win, they also get a top 5 win because of where Carolina was ranked last week.
And this Wofford program, when it comes to overall programs, is one of the better under-the-radar programs. Mike Young, been the head coach there for 16 years. If I'm not mistaken, I was trying to look this up while you all were talking. I don't think they've had another coach since moving up to Div 1. One of you guys can fact-check me on that. And he's been at the school for 29 years. And the longest time, I'm just wondering, why hasn't anybody – looked at this guy? I mean, you know, considering how well he's done there for what was a transitional program at one point, I was a little surprised to see that this was their first top 25 win. They got really close to landing inside the bubble 1 year. I don't know. It didn't come down to that. They won the automatic bid, but they wound up on the 12 line. They've been to three NCAA tournaments. They've had some really good teams. If I'm not mistaken, they beat Xavier 1 year in a year I thought Xavier was ranked. But I guess Xavier wasn't ranked because they said this was their first win against a top 25 team.
That was actually Xavier's last season in the Atlantic 10. I know year you're thinking of, but they were not a top 25 team at that point.
Okay, yeah.
I guess the other thing with this Southern Conference, though, beyond Wofford, not that bad of a week for some of these other teams. East Tennessee State with a nice win over a Georgia Southern team that we'd been paying attention to in the Sun Belt. Chattanooga with a road win at Jacksonville State, although they followed up with a loss to Georgia State. And you've got four or five, maybe even six teams at the top there that I think all could win this conference. And you see they're bottled up there in terms of overall record as we head into conference play, David.
Yeah, we do. And this has been a fun league to watch the last couple of years. You wish that it had the storyline that the Big South had where home court advantage is determined. But again, if Wofford absolutely blows through this league, they could end up on the bubble or inside of it. But I still think we're looking at an overall one bid league. The other thing about Wofford is I believe they only have one senior on their team. This is a really, really young team that's starting to hit its stride more and more. Again, a huge credit to the coaching that they have there. And do they continue to improve as the year goes on? And if they do end up getting out of this conference and into the NCAA tournament, how dangerous are they potentially then? I mean, it's just one of those stories that, I mean, we've watched the SoCon pretty closely in recent years. I don't think we were expecting much out of Wofford this year, particularly because of their youth. But, man, you look at them now, and all of a sudden, here they are, 7-4 against Div 1 with a win against North Carolina.
I got them at 5-4.
Or 5-4.
I'll pull their team sheet up here. They do have losses to Asheville, California, Texas Tech, and South Carolina there on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing out of this conference is it's going to come down to somebody getting hot in the conference tournament to get the bid. I would be shocked if Wofford could run through the top, conference the way that they play. They're going to have some bad shooting nights, and they're going to have some nights where they can knock off anybody. But I think by the end of the year, we're going to be looking at probably above average team in the league, but maybe not the top one or two teams. East Tennessee State showed a lot of promise. And so is Mercer and Furman. I think Furman was my preseason pick. They have four seniors that play, three that start, two juniors to go along with that in the starting lineup. They go about 9 or 10 deep. I watched most of their game was at the same time as the Wofford UNC game when they barely lost to Tennessee on the road. So I'm actually going to go with Furman to still win this regular season crown.
And I'm actually with you. I mean, I love the Wofford win, but I don't think it tells me that this Wofford team is ready to take that step to win the conference and make the NCAA tournament, although they're going to be right there this season. I agree with you on Furman. Stalico, what is your thoughts?
I think we may see a scenario similar to last year where Greensboro wins the regular season title, but I think East Tennessee State would probably be my favorite to actually win in a tournament setting.
Yeah,
it's a good point that the conference tournament being in Asheville, North Carolina, I think East Tennessee State may be the closest team to there.
I looked that up, and Wofford's 80 miles, so I know Wofford's really close too. So
a lot of the conference is close, but
yeah, so it's going to be a fun tournament.
Let's head back to the very beginning then, and go right to the America East, and we'll take a look at what happened last week and what's coming up here. But here we go. David, here's last week in the America East. Again, just kind of the end of the regular season, although there was the huge upset with Stony Brook winning at Rutgers.
Huge. I mean, it's not every day you get to beat a power team that's hovering around top 200 range.
Let's just move on here. But
Albany really making Louisville sweat last week. I think that was going on while we were recording, but –
yeah,
you got to watch out for them. A lot of a senior-laden team there. And I still like Vermont. I don't like them inside the bubble anymore, but I like them within this league. I think Albany and Vermont are going to kind of run away from everybody else, and it'll be a two-horse race for home court advantage.
And if you're looking for a nice old-school Yankee conference matchup, UMass got the win against Maine.
Yeah, and if you look here at the upcoming games, conference play not starting until next Wednesday. A few notable games, though. Vermont on Tuesday night at Harvard. That should be an interesting game, at least against a Harvard team that's been pretty disappointing. And, of course, David, one of our favorite non-conference matchups on Saturday, Dartmouth at New Hampshire.
Yes, the Granite State game.
The battle for the Granite State, whatever they call that one. It's at New Hampshire, so I don't know if Keggy is going to be there.
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Last year, it came down to what appeared to be a game-winning shot for New Hampshire from midcourt that was waved off.
But Rocco, are you still sticking with Vermont here, or are you ready to? You want to look somewhere else?
Yeah, I still like Vermont. They haven't done enough. I thought all their five losses were acceptable, and they were all pretty close. They didn't really get blown out. I think they got blown out maybe against one of the large teams, not Kentucky, but Sorry, I'm just not thinking of the team they played. Do you want to pull up the team sheet?
We can pull up the team sheet right here, sure.
Okay, perfect. But I think Albany's really close. I did get to see the Louisville game, and Albany, they're going to compete, and it's not going to be easy for Vermont, which is pretty cool to see. And now Stony Brook's really turned it on the last couple of games. They got the upset over Rutgers. They lost by two to a beat-up Providence team. So they could have actually pulled off both of those games. And then UMBC just beat Northern Kentucky. So UMBC, you know, we talked about them being a dark horse this year. They've continued to battle. And I think when we get to the semifinals of the conference tournament, all four of those teams are there. Anybody can run away with it if they have a good night shooting the ball and not turning it over. So,
and to further Rocco's point, it just makes the storyline of the regular season so much fun, because all four of those teams, whoever has home court advantage is going to have a huge advantage. So that adds a lot of meaning to the regular season. It makes it a lot more fun, at least for
and me. In terms of their resume there, the big worst loss they had was a 10-point loss to Marquette. I think that's the game you're thinking about. The rest of the games, they were right in it, even though they have lost five times.
Right. But,
John, over in the Atlantic Sun, again, not that many games because of the holidays, and I don't know that there was anything really of note. I guess Gulf Coast kind of hung in with Wichita State. That's probably the best news that this conference had last week, right?
It's become a common refrain lately for Gulf Coast to at least be competitive but not quite pull it out. But Lipscomb, we highlight this because they got a win at a Navy team that has the best record in the Patriot League for the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right. And here's the upcoming games in the A-Sun and the conference play. Not quite starting, actually not even starting at all in what we see coming up this week. A lot of non-conference games. Florida National, the tough week there at Stetson and at North Florida, back-to-back nights.
Yeah.
Memorial playing games, Middle Georgia State. A lot of non-D1 games here, David.
Yeah, with this being the 14-game format, it's kind of crazy because they start a week later than when a lot of leagues start, not all of them. And with the conference tournament being one of the first ones, they wrap up a lot sooner because they're only playing 14 instead of 16 or 18. So it's two weeks shorter.
A couple games to look at. Tonight's actually Florida Gulf Coast at Rhode Island, and Saturday Lipscomb at Purdue. I don't think either team could pull off the upset, but a little interesting there, both of those games.
And you got to look out for Lipscomb. They're not as good as Purdue. They're certainly not good enough to win at Purdue, but I think they're good enough to beat a lot of teams that overlook them.
David, are they your pick to win the conference right now?
They are.
And I would agree with you there. Rocco, let me turn to you as we head over to the Big Sky Conference, try to run through some of these leagues here, where Portland State dismantled Cal last week.
Yeah, this is one of the most exciting teams to watch, and if people across the country haven't figured that out yet, they need to figure out a way to watch this team play. They do very similar to West Virginia style of press most of the game. They're run and gun. They're averaging a lot of points. You see what they did against Cal. They put up 106. So I think I had Idaho winning in the preseason. I have Portland State might be the most talented and definitely the best scheme in the conference. But I think Idaho gets it done on both sides of the floor. I think for the regular season trophy, if that's our focus today, I still got to stick with Idaho because in the Big Sky, you have a lot of tough road trips to the mountains. Those can be long bus rides, long journeys between airports to get back to Portland. I think Idaho is situated a little bit better, and their style of basketball to go along with that will serve them well. So it could easily be a co-champion thing. And then also beyond that, we're looking at Northern Colorado, Montana, and a much improved Southern Utah team being in the mix for those top five spots, in my opinion.
I'm not sold on the Southern Utah team. I mean, I know that they actually have the best strength of schedule. I'm not certain that they're going to be there. At the end of the day, especially with that 341 rated defense nationally, I think that they're the team that's going to fall out. I picked Montana State preseason. I think they could still sneak into things. But, John, are you with him on the Portland State pick or no?
Well, I would have been on the Idaho game after the win against Western Michigan. But then they go down to Boise and lose a tough one in the closing minutes against Irvine. But I still like their tandem of Sanders and the Sherwood boys, so I'm still going with Idaho as far as the regular season.
I hate the Sherwood guys. I'm going with Portland State.
I'm going against the Sherwood guys too. You know that Chad Sherwood. What the hell he's thinking?
Yeah, and on Portland State, you know, they're 2-1 against the Pac-12, and their only losses are Oregon, Butler, and Duke. So it's really hard to go against Portland State.
They really blew it against Butler, too. I mean, good Lord. Yeah,
well, they start conference play at Sacramento State, and if they can't win that one, they're going to have serious problems this season.
I agree with that. I think you're on to something there, Chad.
Dave, let's swing over to, I think we're up to the Big South next, conference that has been doing nothing.
And the one thing about this conference, it's home court advantage in the conference tournament, which makes for a really exciting conference play. Nothing a whole lot really exciting at all until conference play. There's 10 teams in this league. 9 have failed to put together a winning record against Div 1 teams. In fact, if I'm reading that right, there's only one that's put together a 400 record.
Well, I think there's another little fun fact here, because there were 4 teams that won a single game in the upper half of the Las Vegas Classic. There was only one team that actually went undefeated in the Classic this weekend, and that was Radford, because they won a couple bracketed games against North Carolina, A&T, and UC Davis.
We'll send them a banner.
Here is the upcoming schedule. We do get Big South regular season play starting Saturday. So this conference, like David said, really high meaning a lot of these games. But, David, who's your pick?
I'm going to go with Radford. I like what I've seen out of them. I know that they're kind of a dark horse. You can never overlook Winthrop, especially once they get in the conference play. I know they've got just 3 Div 1 wins, but I think I'm going with Radford.
Rocco, you agree with him?
I like that pick. I wasn't strongly considering Radford, but that win over UC Davis to close out non-conference was nice. So they will be a team to keep an eye on. And I think this league overall could definitely have a really big surprise conference tournament champion. But for the regular season, I think it's pretty even between Asheville, Winthrop, and Liberty. And I'm just going to have to pick somebody, so I'm going to go with Liberty, just because I've seen the most impressive wins out of them so far.
I agree with you on the Liberty pick. Richie McKay's team there. I guess it's the easy pick because it's the only team with a winning record. But I just think that they have looked the best of what I've seen of the Big South, although I admittedly haven't seen much of that. Although, David, this very improved Presbyterian team also there with the
– Very much improved. Yeah, very much improved.
But as we learned last year in a tournament setting, don't overlook Chris Clemens and Campbell either, because he willed them to at least a championship game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, boy. Yep. Longwood, if they can win 3 or 4 games, they'll also be much improved.
Longwood, if they win 4 games, will make the NCAA tournament. They've got to all be in the conference tournament. The rest of the season, that's a bad team, Longwood. But yeah. John, let's pull up the Big West over here. And we saw there the conclusion, including UCSB winning at Sac State and Hawaii with at least pick up one win in the Diamond Head.
Yeah, one win against Davidson in the only game that took place on Christmas Eve.
If the 2 a.m. game counts as a game on Christmas Eve, I think it was still the day before Hawaii time. But
I was not there signing autographs. It did not count on Christmas Eve.
Rocco, who do you like in this conference now? Is it the Gauchos?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Gauchos right now, just because I think they've been the most consistent. The wins against San Francisco and San Diego sure look a lot better today than they did when they actually won those games. And then, the thing about Hawaii, I've liked the team, but, they haven't won away from the island. Then they had their big opportunity last week, and they finished a little bit of a disappointing 6 just because they do have that big home court advantage out there. I like UC Davis. Mona Kay is the player of the year in the conference, no question about it, but they've lost games we didn't expect them to. And Irvine's, they've been a roller coaster too. So I've got to go with Santa Barbara. They're the only consistent team right now.
Yeah, David, how about this though? Coming up on Saturday, a huge game here. Notre Dame's at Cal Poly.
Yeah, I mean, again, another tough road game for the Irish, trying to rack up those road wins.
Good schedule there. Those would be the Argonauts, but I thought you were going to bring up
says Notre Dame
and UC Davis.
San Luis Obispo is a good place to be this time of year, so good move by the Irish.
Right, good move by the Irish.
Good move by the Irish, all right. Let's Those you
Texas A&M going to Long Beach. It's good to see that, too.
Those of you listening and not watching, you just have to watch to figure out what we're just talking about now. But let's go to Colonial Rocco. Got the results from the week up here, and obviously nothing much of huge note. I guess College of Charleston picking up a road win at Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
I think not a big
week in the Colonial. It's been kind of a crummy off season overall for what they're used to experiencing the last few years. They've been a top 10 league the last couple, and now they're down to 13 or 14. So this is definitely a one bid league at this point. Charleston started to turn it on the last three games.
Yes.
So they've kind of put themselves back into that favorite seat, but Northeastern's won five out of six. And Towson's been tough throughout the year, so I think it's down to those three. The conference tournament's in Charleston, so that helps them even more. For regular season, I think it's probably going to be a split title, but I'll stick with Charleston.
I was disappointed in Towson not getting that win at Pitt.
Wow. Yeah, they were in that game and let it much of the game there, David, kind of fell apart at the end. But I'm going to stick with the Tigers to win this conference. I don't know where are you at.
College of Charleston, outside of a really, really bad showing up in Alaska, CFC has not been awful. And I think that they've got the highest ceiling, I think, with the exception of one bad – now, they picked a bad week to have a bad week. But with the exception of that bad week, I think they've looked better than everybody else. Towson's got the bloated record, but against two. And, again, Pitt is – if you're even a 12 or a 13 caliber seeded team, you got to be able to win at Pitt. It's not like it was a hostile environment, and it's not like Pitt's any good.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to find out a ton about this Towson team in the very first week of conference play. They begin conference play at College of Charleston and at Elon, who may be the third best team in the conference, or at least debatable with Northeastern. So huge start to the season here. Coming up this week for Towson.
Yep. Right? Trial by fire. And again, they haven't really had that kind of, they haven't really been tested like that, or at least not passed tests like that. So we'll learn something about them.
John, let's turn to you for Conference USA. And we've got the past week results coming up there on the screen right now. The big thing being Middle Tennessee's, I guess, performance at the Diamond Head, where they did pick up a one win and two tough losses.
Yeah, unfortunately, they missed the boat against USC and also against Miami, but they still got what will probably turn out to be a decent win against Princeton down in Hawaii.
Yeah, and how do we take that Rocco, from this team? You have two very close losses, but to USC and Miami, who are some pretty decent teams.
Right. Yeah, I think it shows that Middle Tennessee is a team that you don't want to see in the tournament if you're a power team, because they were right there in both of those games. And for Middle Tennessee, it would have been really big for them to have an opportunity at an at-large to win one of them. But you see what it did for their RPI and their strength of schedule. I mean, they're a top 20 strength of schedule after that. And, they're the defending champion in this league two times over. And based on them even just being competitive against two teams of that caliber shows that, in my opinion, we got to keep them as the favorite going forward.
I agree with that. I do think – I remember watching that Miami game, and it came down to the very end, and they led for a good portion of that game.
They did.
And I remember thinking, like, if Middle Tennessee wins this, then they're on pace to probably land inside the bubble if they cruise. And if they lose this, then suddenly they go 1-2 with their only win being against Princeton, and they're probably looking at either needing to win out or need the automatic bid. So from a resume standpoint, it's not as not bad, but it's not as impressive as it needs to be. But you look at Miami, they're probably a 4 or 5-ish seeded caliber team, and Middle was right with them on a neutral floor. So if they end up on the 12 or 13 line, which is about where I would expect them to be if they were to finish first, if they go for the double, for instance, that's a tough out in the round of 64, especially by then when they'll be even more seasoned.
Right.
I don't think anybody in this conference is as good as they are. It's just, will they be? Are they better than the field?
Well, and can they run away with it? You do have teams like Old Dominion, UAB, Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech. That you're not going to have a bunch of easy wins here. It's going to be a tough. A lot of these games, right from the start here on Saturday, they're at UAB. Also got a big game Thursday night, Louisiana Tech at Western Kentucky. And David, I know you're excited about Saturday, Rice at UTEP, because that could be a key battle at who the 13th and 14th place teams are that don't make the Conference USA tournament.
Right. I mean, those two could really be battling it out for 13th and 14th place.
Yeah, another team to keep an eye on too is Marshall. They just got one of their second semester players in, and they played Xavier down to the wire, lost by four. And outside of that Xavier game, they've won 5 out of 6. So I think Marshall's a team to keep an eye on with that D'Antoni style of play. They really can get Middle Tennessee and Old Dominion out of their style if they're able to enforce their will. So anyway, just keep an eye on the Thundering Herd.
Yeah, Southern Miss is a game they'll probably win, but let's see how Louisiana Tech does when they visit Marshall this weekend.
Actually, a real tough start to the season for La Tech at WKU at Marshall, so that'll be a real interesting test to how good that team really is. Rocco, let me head back to here, head over to the Horizon League, where Oakland picked up another win, and they're starting to get things together as they're getting healthier.
Yeah, they're starting to look like themselves, right? And I think it started with that Michigan State game in Detroit. They played them really tough. And then kind of fell apart the last few minutes, lost by 13. But that was a lot closer game than the final score indicated. And since then, they've really been rolling. I think they've won two kind of more blowout wins and looked really impressive. Their last game, they had Jalen Hayes went for 37 and Kendrick Nunn went for 20. So they're getting a lot of production out of those two guys. So unless they face a game plan where they're taking away Hayes or Nunn, which I don't think anybody in the Horizon League has the personnel to do, I think Oakland's going to be able to, take this conference. But I think Northern Kentucky is not far behind, even with Oakland at full strength. And another team to watch out for is Wright State. They just got Cole Gentry back. I know that we've been picking on Georgia Tech all year, but that's a good win for Wright State to go to Georgia Tech and win that game.
Yeah, that was a nice road win. And John, do you agree with him on the Oakland pick?
Yeah, I think Oakland has probably developed itself as the top team right now. But again, NKU, Wright State, and Milwaukee, not too far behind.
Yeah, Oakland starting out the season Thursday night at Milwaukee. You do have a couple non-conference games mixed in there too, David. Are you on the Oakland bandwagon?
I am. I think they're one of the teams I like. This league is a little bit more disappointing. We're used to seeing the front runner pretty close to the bubble. And then I know last year Northern Kentucky ended up on the 15 line, but it looks like that this conference is destined for the 14-15 line. Another team you kind of want to watch this year again is this Milwaukee team. They come in, they're 6-5 against Div 1. I don't think they're as good as Oakland, Wright State, NKU, probably not Green Bay, Chicago. I think they're going to finish about 8th or 9th and then advance all the way to the championship game.
Of course, it's also easier to be disappointing when you sub out to Valpo in place of IUPUI.
You took the words out of my mouth, John. We look a lot better right now if we crossed out IUPUI and wrote Valparaiso in there. But they are gone off to the Missouri Valley. And, David, we're going to move right on over to the Ivy League here. Conference is probably still a couple weeks away from regular season play with only a 14-game schedule as well.
Yeah.
But Princeton, although it's not on the screen there, had the huge win at USC last Tuesday night or Monday night, I believe it was.
Yeah. Again, no one really inside the bubble. One of my complaints about this league is that the November-December games didn't seem to mean as much because who cares what happened? It's all about conference play. You don't have to play your way inside the bubble. Mm-hmm. But in this case, no one really did anyway, so it's feeling like November and December didn't really mean a whole lot. It's just going to come down to regular season play and who are the top four teams. I mean, Penn, to me, has been more impressive than everybody else. I still think Harvard has it in them if they can pull it together to at least finish in the top four. But how do you not like Penn and Princeton?
Yeah, Rocco, that's where I'm at. I think this is going to be Penn and Princeton, probably in the championship game of the Ivy League tournament.
Yeah, I'm not willing to go that far because I think – I don't know. I feel like Yale and Harvard have played so bad, and I know that they I know Yale's in trouble because Mason's not coming back. But Harvard, I would just assume at some point will get a hot streak. They haven't shown any signs of that yet. But
judging – go ahead.
Yeah, but judging on what we've seen so far, Princeton and Penn by far, I got to watch the entire Princeton-USC game that lasted – through the late night and overtime, and that was unbelievable that Princeton won that game. I thought for sure when it went to overtime, USC would take over, and Princeton showed a lot of toughness. And then they carried that toughness with them to the Islands by almost knocking off Middle Tennessee in the first round, losing by two, and then getting the win over Akron, and then really taking care of business against Hawaii, who we've talked about is usually very tough at home. So I like where Princeton's at and the direction they're going.
John, let's head right over to Metro Atlantic, a conference that's been very disappointing in the non-conference. And although we did pick up the big win, Rider winning at Penn State last week.
Well, that's the second win of note for Rider this year, because let's not forget, they also won at GW as part of those, I think, non-bracketed games that was part of the Las Vegas.
Not winning at GW. Let's talk about wins of note at Penn State. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a compliment.
Yeah.
But seriously, John, do you think that Rider is your Rider your pick now for this conference?
I'm still going to go with Iona, because I think they still probably have a little bit more of a complete team. But I'm also curious to see how long is Niagara going to be able to sustain themselves, because it's been several years since they've been an NCAA tournament team.
David, what do you think?
I still like Rider the best out of what I've seen so far, but I agree. Iona seems to, and I know that this is the antithesis of what we were saying a few years ago, they seem to collect themselves and improve throughout the year as conference play goes on, and they're always dangerous, mostly at the end of the year, where, you know, how many times have we seen it? They enter conference play and they're okay, then they finish strong and they either win the tournament or come close to winning the tournament. So you got to watch out for the Gales as well.
Yeah, and really interesting, John just mentioned Niagara. They start the season hosting Iona and hosting Rider coming up this week. So a couple more games just kind of circle the Metro Atlantic play this first weekend. David, let me head back to you again here for the Mid-American Conference, where we did see the Kent State with the home win over Oregon State, actually. An interesting home game there.
Yeah, that is interesting. I wonder what compelled Oregon State to schedule that. I mean, I'm glad that they did. I don't think it hurt them too bad, but a nice showcase game sort of there for Kent State at home. But I think the story in the conference is still Ball State and how they've won five in a row and who they've beaten in those five games and how they've looked about as dangerous or as good as anybody else in the league. No one, every now and then there's a couple teams that we got our eye on going into conference play. It's typically been either Kent State or Akron, but they've never been able to blow through the league. There's just a lot of parity in this league. This year, no one really sticking out, at least to me, as being the best team. Buffaloes look good at times. Ball State certainly had their moments, but is it one of those leagues where 13-5 lands you in first place?
I think it was also nice to see Western Michigan rebound after a horrid performance at home against Idaho. And they also won at Milwaukee shortly after Milwaukee had drubbed Loyola at home.
Well, the team that I'm looking at here, in addition to Ball State, is this Buffalo team, Rocco. If you look at some of the metrics there, they're right up there. They are probably even better than Ball State right now. I think that it could come down to those two teams.
Yeah, Buffalo just added Wes Clark to the roster, transfer from Missouri, and he's already starting. They had those two back-to-back games at Syracuse and A&M last week. They battled both really, really hard.
Really hard, yeah.
Syracuse game came down to the last minute. The A&M game came down to the last 5 minutes. They ended up losing by an ugly final, but it was a lot closer than that. I think Buffalo's got the most complete team at this point. I've been Ball State's actually on a 7-game winning streak, so we've been paying attention to them closely since the Notre Dame upset. Plus, we liked them a lot in the preseason. I think it's going to be Buffalo or Ball State, and I'm slightly giving the edge to Buffalo just because I think they're just more of a complete team with a little bit better bench. But it should be a good battle.
Yeah, John, here is the team sheets for both Buffalo and Ball State. Obviously, Ball State, a lot better on the win column here, and if you wanted to compare the back-to-back losses, although they're both very excusable, those two losses.
Yeah.
But Buffalo certainly took their fair share of swings as far as the schedule goes with the losses against Texas A&M, Syracuse, the Bonnies, UC, and even South Dakota State, which was actually part of the inaugural Cayman Islands Classic.
Yeah, well, you can't fault either of these teams for those losses. Oregon, Bucknell, Oklahoma, Dayton all on the road for Ball State. Very respectable. Yeah. The conference play does start on Tuesday. There's still a small batch of non-conference games left, including Eastern Michigan at Syracuse tonight, Wednesday night. But, David, let me stick with you again here and move right over to the MEAC, one of our favorite leagues.
Yes. Thank you for sticking with me for this conference.
Go ahead. Talk to me about it.
Well, conference play is starting soon, and there's a lot of teams that could win it, and there's a few even more that could end up as serious centenary candidates. We've got about four of them right now, with FAMU in the mix again, along with Coppin State.
Well, I'll tell you, my pick to win this conference is this Morgan State team, which was my preseason pick. Kenley, who's the best scorer, has been out until the last game. He's back. He's gonna be.
You like him more than A&T.
I like them more than A&T now that they're healthy, now that they got their best player back. Although A&T has been one of the surprising stories in all of college basketball. Another solid win over Lamar, a Lamar team that could contend in the Southland over the weekend, Rocco.
Yeah, and that was a nice win. That was a real nice win. And that, I mean, all facetiousness and kidding aside, it really is a tremendous improvement from North Carolina A&T over how bad they've been for the last couple of years to where they are now.
I will say this, though. We'll probably have to look at our history books if Morgan State goes to the tournament, because I'm guessing it's going to be at least two decades since Todd Bozeman was last in the NCAA tournament with Cal.
No, they were he got there with Morgan State once.
Yeah, he's been there once or twice with Morgan State.
Yeah.
Rocco, you had a comment on the league?
I do. I like Hampton. Malik Trent just joined the roster. He put up 21 in their blowout over our hot team, Appalachian State. And and I think Hampton actually looks pretty dang good going forward. Their lineup looks a lot tougher, but you're right. A&T deserves a lot of respect, and Morgan State was my preseason pick. I just kind of wanted to mix it up with this league, so I'm going to go with Hampton.
All right. Well, Sleek, let me go to you as we head over to the Missouri Valley Conference, where we did see the first couple games of conference play, including Missouri State beating Loyola Chicago, and also Northern Iowa. I believe you were at the game. Falling to Xavier.
I was at that game, and there was about a 20-point swing where UNI was actually able to hit some of their threes early on, but just too much athleticism to match Xavier. And even though Cook had a nice game for the Panthers, just not enough to match Xavier's overall strength. But I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention Illinois State also getting a decent road win at Evansville, which is not going to be the easiest thing to do.
I'm not sold. I don't think either of those teams is going to be a contender here. David, who's your pick in the MVC now?
I'm still going with Northern Iowa. I mean, they have four losses, and I think that sometimes when you look at it, the 8-4 record doesn't look that spectacular, but their losses were Villanova, where for 35 minutes they were right in the game. Xavier, for a good portion of that game, they were right in the game. North Carolina, they were never really in that game. And then Iowa State, where they just went on an unbelievable cold spell for the final 10 minutes, and they have some fairly decent wins. But when you have four losses and three of them are against teams that are currently ranked whatever 15 or higher or wherever North Carolina landed, that's pretty solid. And they competed in a lot of those games. I still like UNI better than anybody else, but there's other teams in here I do like, and it is hard to win here. Like Loyola was a team I was big on. It's hard to win at Missouri State.
Right. Missouri State, how good they are, could be just seen this weekend. They're at Valpo, a good road test for them. I like this team, but they have that very that lost Oral Roberts that I still haven't figured out.
Yeah,
Oral Roberts has done that to a couple teams.
They also did the Gulf Coast, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with David. Oh, okay. We're going to move on.
Go ahead. Yeah, well, go ahead. Finish up the MVC first, Rocco.
No problem. Yeah, I agree with David. I'm picking Northern Iowa mainly because of Ben Jacobson. Like I said in the start of the year, I think he is the best coach, the most proven coach in the conference. They have confidence from those wins in the Bahamas. I think this league is definitely up for grabs. I think Illinois State with Malik Yarborough, the newcomer of the year in the conference so far, they actually can make some noise with their three-point ability like they showed when they won at Ole Miss. And I think Missouri State with Elise Johnson he's going to be the player of the year in the league. I don't trust Missouri State to win on the road. And Illinois State, I think, can lose some bad games because they depend on the three too much. So that's why I'm going with Northern Iowa. And I don't think we know enough. Valpo and Bradley, you know, they've got some really curious losses and margins of losses. So I can't hold my hat on either of those teams at this point.
David, Northeast Conference, one of our favorite conferences.
It is.
to play. I don't know what we can say about what they did the past week in non-conference. Well,
they're getting warmed up for league play. That's what they're doing.
Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here. I'll go straight to that. We are seeing league play start here on Friday. Yes. So we'll be exciting. We love MVC play. And who is your pick here?
I'm going to go with Wagner. STFU at Central Connecticut, that's a fun one.
Thank you.
Connecticut being much improved and STFU being the preseason favorite, not midseason favorite. So, but again, like you look at the St. Francis, I don't know. I'm just so sentimental for this league. I love the small venues. I love how it's a lot of energy packed into the small venues. I love that it's a bus league from Northeastern kids and that they all hate each other. This is just a fun league. If you just like basketball, and I know out of conference, there's nothing that jumps out at you, but on any given night, it's a free stream. Just turn on the Northeast Conference and watch any game. It's great.
NEC front row. But I was also going to highlight Central Connecticut's other home game, and that's going to be Robert Morris, which is going to be another team that's quietly hovering around 500 out of conference, but they're a perennial contender here.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my preseason pick of St. Francis, PA. I can't really read much into anything that happened in the non-conference schedule other than the fact that Bryant is a pretty bad team.
So is Brooklyn.
Rocco, the Ohio Valley Conference. In terms of the final last few regular season games, don't know that we saw anything too much of note last week, but I guess the question is the same thing. Where are you looking at now that non-conference play is almost done?
Yeah, well, I liked what I saw out of Murray State at the end of non-conference. I know they lost close to Auburn. They could have definitely pulled that out. But they've got, Terrell Miller and Jonathan Stark looks like a really good 1-2 punch. I really like Jacksonville State most of the non-conference, but a pretty disappointing home loss to Chattanooga. Got a chance to watch that actually. Kind of has me, holding out judgment on them a little bit. Belmont as well, but I think again Belmont's another one of those teams that pass the ball very well, shoot the three very well, but they're gonna have some cold shooting nights. And I think Murray State's ability to get to the rim and defend, for me at least right now, I'm just giving them a slight advantage going forward.
Murray State, John, you agree with him? Murray State, the pick here?
I'm going to stick with Belmont here. But the question is, will Belmont finally be able to get past the number one seed jinx that has haunted them in the OVC tournament in recent years?
David, I'm going to go Murray. You want to break the tie, or I guess no? Not
well,
tie,
I mean, if you're, I'm going with Murray. Last year Murray State had all that athleticism and they couldn't really gel or harness it. And I was like, well, until I see them do that, I'm not going to be behind this team. I've seen them do that, and I'm behind them now. I do think it's going to be a 3-horse race between Murray, Jack State, and Belmont. I think Murray's going to finish first, and then it's just the competition to see who the other team with the double bye is, and. Again, that's important because they're playing in a conference that has no teams in Ohio and a state that has no OVC teams in it, being sponsored by Myrtle Beach, this conference tournament.
In Indiana. John, the Patriot League here, we've talked at length about how disappointing this Bucknell team has been this season, but they do kind of have a chance to clean the slate and start over again, don't they, as we head to conference play?
Well, they did show a promising sign with a win at home against LaSalle in Stoica Pavilion. And we had also teased earlier that Navy did lose to Lipscomb at home.
Right. And actually, here is the upcoming schedule here in the Patriot League as we do head into conference play. Bucknell starting off hosting American and BU. Navy on the road with Loyola. But who is your pick?
I'm going to go ahead and stick with Bucknell here because I think now the time's here to flip the switch.
David, you agree with that?
I do. I think they've been very disappointing out of conference, but that doesn't necessarily mean they will continue to be disappointing. They proved last year that they could dominate the conference. And, I've been excited about Army and Navy in the past because of what they've done up to this point, and then they get in the league play and absolutely tank. I'm sticking with Bucknell.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Bucknell, They're starting to turn it around a little bit. They got a road win at Richmond, who I know has been really bad. But it's still a decent win against an A-10 team on the road. And then they just beat LaSalle at home, took care of business against them. Folland is the preseason player of the year. He had 30, and they have a good complimentary player, another senior point guard, Stephen Brown, that had 21 in that last game. And now they get to start off, as you see, with American and Boston U at home. It's a great way to kick off a Patriot League. Should be 2-0.
Rocco, let me stick with you as we head over to the Southland Conference. And how about the Stephen F. Austin team after an 11-2 start? And we talked about them a little before we went on the air. If they keep winning, could this team end up inside the bubble? Should they slip up in the Southland tournament?
I think there's a chance, but I think they have to. They have to run the table in the regular season, just because of the RPIs and the strength of schedules of the rest of the conference. Just it would just be too big of a dent in their resume to lose any of those games. So I ultimately don't think it's going to happen, but, I mean, it'd be really cool to see that. Although, if they don't go undefeated throughout the season, I can't really envision them getting in with a Southland tournament loss. So, again, I think they have to go 16-0 and then lose in the Southland tournament to have an at-large berth be possible.
Yeah, I would David, agree here, with, David, yeah. Here is that. You have a loss at Missouri, a loss at Mississippi State. Everything else has been a win so far. Everything else the rest of the season is Southland games.
Yeah, and had they won that game at Mizzou, I think they would have somewhat of a margin of error. But if you look at – and I know we touched on this last week. The win at La Tech and the win at LSU are decent. I mean, if they're not – they're not going to match up to what your typical bubble resume is, but it's at least indicative of a team that can play and win on the road against NIT-caliber teams. The problem is this. They would pretty much have to run the table – because who on their remaining schedule is going to finish in the top 200 of the RPI? Probably no one. And
right now you only have Nicholls State and Lamar in there, and they're both going to slide down, I expect.
Yeah, so any loss the rest of the way is a sub-200 loss, which essentially means you're winning games that the committee will give about as much credence to as if you win a bye game, which is almost nothing. Now, the other piece to this is, and we know that how does it affect the human polls? If they do get to 27-2, 28-2, are they going to crack the rankings? And how do the rankings impact what the committee does?
Well, they're already getting votes in both polls there, still.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have a thought on this SFA argument?
No, I think they're going to have to really run the table in the Southland if they're going to stub their toe in the conference tournament.
I'll tell you, I'm not going to agree with any of you. I really think even if SFA does not lose again until the Southland championship game, I think they're in the NIT.
Really?
You played four non-D1 games. They're looking at 220 strength of schedule heading into conference play. That's just going to plummet. Mm-hmm. Down from 220 now that they start playing Southland. They had the chances. They scheduled four non-D1 games. They have nobody to blame but themselves for this. And I don't think they could do it. I think they need to beat Missouri. I think if they'd beat Missouri, it would be a different story. But
right.
they better win the Southland tournament, and that's that.
And there is credence for that. And is it grossly unfair if they are left out? We saw them leave Murray State out a few years ago when I think they won 28 games.
I'm sorry. It's not grossly unfair if they lose to a sub-200 team in the
Southland. No, I said what I meant to say it's not grossly unfair.
I do not think it is grossly unfair because they're going to suffer a very, very bad loss. Southland is a ladder format. They only have to win two games of that conference tournament to take the bid. They should win both those games. And I do not give them any excuse for losing either of those games. So I don't think their regular season matters the rest of the way, just what they do in the Southland tournament. Okay. Right. But that's just my thought on it. And, John, let me move over to you, go over to the SWAC here. And as you can see there, we got Grambling and Alabama A&M still both ineligible. And the Texas Southern story, we're pretty much complete with the non-conference section, but are we not?
Complete with the non-conference, but still going to be a little while before they will actually be playing their first home game on campus.
Yeah, here's the upcoming schedule in the Southland. You do see a couple of games here Thursday, Friday with a few of the teams with non-D1 games and Grambling's out at Seattle. Texas Southern starting Monday night hosting Southern and then hosting Alcorn State on Wednesday after the first of the year. But David, big question, can Texas Southern do the double 0-13 followed by 18-0?
I think it could go. I think it could be the ultimate. They go 18-0 in league play. They win the conference tournament, and then they lose in their first NCAA game, making them what I hope is the first team ever to lose every single non-league game and win every single league game of any kind, be it in the season or in the conference tournament.
That's Rocco. Rocco, you agree with that? You want to pick some other team to win the league?
I'm picking Texas Southern to win the league, and I agree with David. They can do it. But I honestly don't think they will. I think there's a couple slip-ups in the schedule. Grambling, Prairie View, a couple of these teams have actually shown some non-conference ability, and I just don't think they can make it all the way through. But it doesn't mean it's impossible because they are the strongest team. They have the most talent. So I think what David's saying could definitely happen.
All the attention that SMU was getting for a perfect season a few years ago, I want Texas Southern to get that same attention if this has never been done.
I would love to see it happen also. We'll see. It's going to start next week with conference play. But, John, the Summit League, I think this is a story of South Dakota. Would you agree with me?
Well, I don't really want to talk about South Dakota this week. Not when they're beating what looks like a high school team, but – South Dakota State actually going on the road, getting a decent win at UMKC. I
meant the state of South Dakota. I meant both these teams is what I meant by that.
Yep, but I think I'm still going to favor South Dakota State ultimately to win the league.
I will too.
Rocco, you which way are you going? You go away from the state of South Dakota, or are you going to take one of those also?
Yeah, I think it's a coin flip between the two, South Dakota State. My coin's favoring South Dakota State because Mike Dom's the best player in the league. But South Dakota's results have been pretty amazing. Their losses, besides the Duke game, are by a combined, 9 points between TCU, UCLA, and Northern Colorado, which was a one-point loss. So, I think South Dakota's going to be right there. We all know that the conference tournament's in South Dakota, so chances are pretty good we're going to see these two in the championship.
Well, I would keep an eye on this North Dakota State team. They actually host South Dakota State next Wednesday night in an interesting early conference game. And you can't overlook Fort Wayne, who had to, beat Indiana again this year. So who knows what they take out from that game moving forward. David, Sun Belt.
Yep. The Raging Cajun. I'm right here.
All right. Go ahead. The Raging Cajuns, they got crushed by Clemson. We thought it would be a good game. It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Still like them as a team overall. I think it was just what I took away from it was partly Louisiana is not as good as I thought, but more so Clemson's better than I thought. UTA or Arlington still has shown some signs of life. I like them and Georgia Southern the best. Out of the four, I know Georgia State's kind of in the mix as well. Like their coach, I just don't think they're quite as good as those other three teams. And I still like Louisiana better than everybody else that I've seen so far.
Well, Georgia State did have the missed opportunity at Dayton a couple weeks ago, but they have not faded. They did win at UMass, and they also got a win. I think it was at Chattanooga recently.
Yeah. Ron Hunter, real crazy, charismatic guy, doing a good job there.
Rocco, I'm going with Arlington to win this league. Where are you at?
I'm with you, Chad. Okay. Harvey, that guy is a player, and Neil is a great point guard. I think they challenged themselves on the road. Unfortunately, they couldn't get any of those wins, and they slipped up at home against Gulf Coast. But we all know Gulf Coast has talent, and they can show up and beat you if you're not prepared. So I think Arlington is still the favorite, but you guys are right. Georgia Southern, Louisiana, some of these other folks in the other squads in the Sun Belt are capable of knocking off Arlington. But I think for the regular season, I feel pretty good about picking Arlington.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Arlington does start out with one of the more manageable road trips to begin conference play.
I don't agree with you there. Well, I agree with you on the Sunday game, but Friday's game at Coastal Carolina, very dangerous tough. Game for Arlington, I think.
Yeah, that's a tough
place. David, go ahead.
Well, this is just one of my other really, what I think is a brilliant insight. Little Rock, not as good since Chris Beard left.
I, w- was going to go in for the whack, but John, I'm going to head to you instead. And how about New Mexico State this weekend, beating Miami, picking up the win over Davidson, and then finally falling to USC in the title game of the by 5 points of the Diamond Head?
It was good for them to cash in one chip in Hawaii, and it came pretty close to getting the second, but a last-second shot by USC denied the Aggies that opportunity. But there's actually going to be a little room for air in the WAC this year because teams like Grand Canyon and Utah Valley should also be contenders, but none of them are going to be seriously at-large contenders like New Mexico State could be.
David, here is that New Mexico State profile. The huge win over Miami. I wish that San Diego game was a win because that's the one bad mark there that when you look
at it. Yeah, and San Diego, not awful. If that's the worst thing that happens to them, you look at their remaining schedule, and it's all winnable. I think that if they blow through this conference, they'll be on the bottom half of the inside the bubble, but on the bottom half of the bracket. So you're talking 12, 11, 10, or 9 line. Somewhere around there. And again, I think they even have a little bit of a margin for error, depending on where that loss comes from. I mean, if it's to Chicago State, forget it. But if they go to Grand Canyon and lose, or they go to Utah Valley or lose, and those are the only two that they lose, and I think they could still get in even if they lose in the conference tournament.
Rocco, this team, last weekend they beat Illinois in Chicago. They then went out to the Diamond Head. Now they've got a road game at UC Irvine, and then three straight road games in conference play to start it. That's why I get a little bit worried. That Grand Canyon game, that Bakersfield game, is just a little bit of attrition for this team, not being away from home for so long.
Yeah, you're right. I think the Irvine game is dangerous just because they're feeling good coming away from the islands. They just had the Christmas holiday, and now they got to get focused for a team that they might overlook. But Irvine's very tough at home, and they're capable of knocking off a New Mexico State if they're not prepared. I think if they can get by that, you know, the Chicago State game's not until a week later. The Grand Canyon game's 5 days after that. They can really settle in. They'll want to make sure they're prepared for that Grand Canyon-Bakersfield back-to-back. But assuming that they can overcome that, I think what David said, I'm 100% with him on that they can afford a loss or two and still be heavily looked at. That San Diego loss, San Diego, if they were in the WAC, would be the number two team in this league. So, you know, it's not that bad of a loss as long as San Diego continues to play the caliber of basketball that they have.
Yeah.
So this will be a really interesting story to follow.
Yeah, they beat Miami. They beat Miami, got a real big win. And I don't mean this to slam them. They actually kind of blew it against USC. It wasn't that USC was over their heads or they weren't capable of winning that game. They could have won that game. They arguably should have won that game. But for 38 minutes, they played really well, and for two, they didn't. That was really a game that they lost more so than a game they just weren't able to win. The voters right now have them 36-42. I could see the committee, if they hold serve the rest of the way, and by that I mean, you know, going 17-1, 16-2, something like that, putting them about in that range. What is that, between the 9 and the 11 line?
Yeah, and they've got what SFA doesn't have. They've got, in addition to a notable win, they've also got the, you know, a lot better strength of schedule with those conference games when they start playing these teams like Grand Canyon, Utah Valley, Seattle, who's had a little bit of life, Bakersfield, who's got a little bit of life. They're not going to get beat up as bad except for the bottom two or three teams in this league.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, let's take one final look here. One last team we always like to discuss is our team of the people. David, Cal Baptist had the week off for the holidays. 9-2 overall, 3-1 in PacWest play. They got their final non-conference game coming up Saturday against, I believe that's Homer Simpson, or is that maybe Bart?
Yes, it's Homer Simpson coming to town this Saturday. Team of the people, free stream of that game. And then Dominican right back in the conference play.
That's the entire Dominican Republic. Is that what they're playing there?
It's all of it. All of it coming to Cal Baptist to play the team of the people. 9-2 overall on a Final Four pace.
All right. And I think they're going to do it. But let's go right over to our 10 list here. And this is it, our December 27th top 10 list, where we see that we actually had a tie for first place.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
And there they are, number one teams. First of all,
it's still blue. Northern
Iowa And the other one is Middle Tennessee. I think 3 or 4 weeks in a row, these two have been top two.
I'm a little surprised people – I mean, I like Middle Tennessee, but I think they needed to get one more win than what they got out on the island.
I'm not looking at this as much as a resume as when I vote, at least. It's how good are these teams and how dangerous are these teams. And I think Middle Tennessee, despite two losses, proved that they are a very dangerous team this weekend.
Yeah.
Rocco at number three, we see New Mexico State coming in. Huge leap for them in our standings.
Yes, and well-deserved. I mean, if anybody showed that they can actually beat one of the top 20 teams, it's New Mexico State.
John at number four was Stephen F. Austin, another team that we just discussed. And you started to see the bubble line moving up and up in this in these top tens. And at number five, that Arlington team that we just discussed, Ooh. Getting some love as well.
Somebody must have really loved them. I don't think I even voted for them.
Yeah, I was going to say, as far as even though SFA's schedule is atrocious, they still have one of the better teams out there.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, at number six, Old Dominion, our second team out of CUSA. And at number seven, Lipscomb's still hanging around in the top ten. They broke in last week. Quickly running out the top ten here at number eight. We had the UC Santa Barbara, the top team out of the Big West. At number nine, Western Kentucky. That makes three CUSA teams still in our top ten, which, again, tells you that there's a chance that this could be a multi-bay this year. And Vermont barely hanging in there, getting the 10th spot, David.
Yeah, and I think that, again, I think they're going to finish at or near. The hard stuff's behind them. They're 8-5 now. I could see them losing as few as one the rest of the way. They're pretty good.
Five other teams that did receive some votes, or the top five other vote getters. Wofford, who somebody liked a lot, despite the fact they only have one notable win on the season, David.
It's a nice win, though. It is a rather nice win.
Loyola, Chicago, Towson, Portland State, and Ball State all getting a little bit of love here as well. But on that note, let me run through each of you. Any other thoughts on the evening? And John, let me start with you.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to what I had said earlier about Todd Bozeman. As it turns out, he did have two NCAA tournament appearances in 2009 and 2010, which was actually 13 years after his last appearance at Cal. And it's been about 8 years since he went to the NCAA tournament, but certainly the pieces would seem to be in place this year. But it seems like the road is going to go through North Carolina, A&T, and possibly Hampton or Norfolk State as well.
All right, Rocco?
Yeah, I would just like to give a shout out to the Red Flash of St. Francis, Pennsylvania. They have generated some great momentum going into Northeast Conference play by getting a win at Niagara and then beating Lehigh at home. For NEC's expectation level, that those are two very good wins for them, and feeling good about them going forward into conference play.
David.
Okay, a couple things. I'm glad that, like, I'll be out of the bunker after this week and at least back on well, my easy chair. It used to be a couch. That's one thing. The second thing is that it's just good to see conference play starting. I mean, as a fan of under-the-radar teams, November and December are exciting for a handful of teams, not even the entire top 10. But it is exciting because it's in the sense it's like who can put together the wins, if anyone, to – land inside the bubble, get into the rankings, get the attention of the committee. But the real excitement starts, and this show, as fun as it's been up to this point, gets even more fun when we pull up a conference and there's conference races going on, there's home court advantage on the line, there's conference rivalries taking place. And as sad as I am in some ways that the season is about half over, the part that we're moving into, especially if you're a fan of under-the-radar schools, is about to be really fun as well.
Well, yeah, I really look at the season as having three stages before you get to the NCAA tournament. We have just finished that first stage, that non-conference section. We are starting that second major stage, which is conference play. The third one is that last 2 weeks where we hit championship week. And each stage kind of moves things up a notch for me also. And so we are, you know, as excited as I was probably before the first games of the regular season, as excited as I am now as we head into the conference play as well. But I guess at that note, on behalf of Rocco Miller, John Salica, David Griggs, I want to wish everybody a happy new year. Be safe out there. And we'll talk to you again.
Bracket shows. We got bracket shows coming up next week.
Do you want to keep talking, David? Can I end the show?
Yeah, you can just go ahead and end the show. Okay.